We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you. We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you.
What up, bitches? Welcome back to your favorite comedy variety podcast. This is Andy, and always, Victor.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
As I was saying just a moment ago before the podcast, we were talking about toys because Victor's got a bunch of toys on his wall. Yeah. So when I was a kid, there was this toy series of Star Wars Episode One figures that came with little badges that could go over like a magnetized reader. So there were these transparent plastic badges, and then it would have a holographic photo of the character.
Yeah.
I remember I only had two when I was a child, and my I had I didn't have Anakin Skywalker. I had Smee Skywalker, which is Anakin's mom, and it says Smee, and it would say like Smee is a slave to Watto.
No.
and then it had like a chip that would have had like a voice line, and I didn't know until I was in like high school that these chips could be put over like a reader thing.
Yeah.
It was basically, so at the time it was NFC, but like nobody knew what the fuck NFC was.
Exactly.
So, but it was NFC technology in a toy. It didn't require any batteries. I mean, the voice thingy required a battery, but you just pass them over, and then also the figure comes with the ID badge. So I don't know how I got a used copy of Smee Skywalker's ID badge, but that was the one that I had. I got a second one later, and it was one of the Trade Federation guys.
Oh, like one the of the, one of the
golden droid cars. Yes, those guys.
Yeah, it was
the
droid other guys. One I had.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those ones.
I love those guys.
Close They're the so blast fun. Doors.
Yeah.
Oh, don't those guys. On the way.
Yeah, I had those guys. So
the racist fucking Asian fish aliens from Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah, I had an ID card of one of them, and I cannot remember his name. And then I had Smee Skywalker, some side characters for sure.
I didn't know they made those characters.
Yeah, no, they made them for. Like they did with Porkins, they made everybody got a voice chip, like absolutely everyone. That's but they were crazy. All from. So apparently they had multiple series because so one year my ex-girlfriend at the time got me a bunch of them from eBay because at the time when I was like 17 or 18, we both got debit cards for the first time and started buying shit from Amazon and eBay. Yeah. So like I got a bunch of I got new cartridges of Pokemon games, which were obviously bootlegs, but I didn't care. I didn't know. I was like, how did you get three a copy of fucking Emerald, Sapphire and Ruby for $30 for all three of them? So $10 a pop in, 2012 when they were $30 a piece at GameStop or whatever. So
yeah, that's not how that works.
So they came from some like bootleg manufacturer. I also have the Matrix series from that same quality of like they're I have all three or four, so Matrix 1, 2, 3 and a Matrix on bootleg DVD or bootleg Blu-ray, and they all say like fucking it's like the Japanese rating system, but everything on the box is written in English.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so I have a lot of like I had a lot of bootlegs of that, but in that same time period, my girlfriend at that time was just like, I would say this is the one time she gets a thumbs up for thoughtfulness and not being a douchebag. And it was that I described these toys and she went out and fucking looked them up. Now I don't give a shit, but at the time I was like, I would love to hold one of them again. I got an entire set. I got all of them. All of the ID cards.
Oh, it's just the cards, no figures.
And the card reader, no figures. Yeah, so all the ID cards and the card reader with no figures. And I sat there for a good fucking hour and a half just scanning all of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Shit, dude!
His Mandalorian count is off the charts.
I had Qui-Gon. I remember I had that one. Yep. And then I had fucking like Watto also. And then I remember I didn't even find the stupid reader at like a normal store. I found it at Kobe's swap meet one time when we went over the weekend.
I'm surprised you even found one, because my set of badges came with a reader. That's really? Why I ended up with a reader. Otherwise, I would have never. One, I would have never known that these went in anything. I thought they were just little ID badges. Yeah. I carried one around. I loved them because they were stands also, because they had the little foot peg on the toys.
That's true,
dude. They were a sick ass kind of stupid, but I loved it toy. I don't know why I loved those ones so fucking much.
Yeah, you remember that? Because I remember I always put the water one. I'm like, I'm a Toydarian. I'm like, yeah, he is.
Only money. And that's it.
That was a good time.
Any mop this soup. It's very hot.
I'm starving.
I like Call the your mother. Shave my back.
She's like shaving his back while a little fucking blonde boy is blowing on his soup. And it's like, this is the life of Tatooine.
Thinks of my car. And then he just lets a little 8-year-old boy fix his car.
Eddie, you're good with pod racer. Fixing my car.
No, Eddie, you have tiny hands. This is very valuable. You also have 10 fingers. That is 2 more than me. Fixing my car. And that's one.
His little fucking nose dangling everywhere.
I wish I could be a child again, and I wish I had rich parents so they could hire the voice actor of Watto to show up at my birthday party dressed as Watto.
I'd be so down.
I just want him to bark weird, like, because my name is Andre, but I am also Andy. I want him to say Andy and then insert orders from Watto all over my 8th grade birthday. That's why I'm 8th. Your 8-year-old birthday.
Andy, it's time to cut the cake.
Andy, I'm a Toydarian. Only money. I'm eight. I don't have any money.
Your child magics will not work on me, Andy.
So, Victor Face, I wanted to ask you. I've been playing Fallout again, and you haven't watched the TV show, so I wanted to kind of derail this, obviously, and go into some Fallout territory.
That's dangerous territory you're charting there, buddy.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm a 30-year-old man, and I have different opinions from what 14-year-old Andy had of Fallout when he first played it. So I still like Fallout so much more than any other Elder Scrolls game. I cannot stand Skyrim. It's boring as hell, and I love the world and universe of Fallout. But I feel that Fallout 3 was a great proof of concept, but 4 was where it really started. So it feels like Fallout 4 is Assassin's Creed 2, you know, like where it really just kind of fucking found its feet. So that's what I've been experiencing. I don't know if you personally share that.
Four fell apart as like a traditional, I guess, Fallout game, more or less. Like it's vast. You got a lot you can do, but it feels like the amount of control that you would normally have in the other two kind of gets ripped out away from you a little bit more.
Well, and that's, I guess I do. I'm curious of that. So I remember having less of a hard time playing Fallout than I am now. I understand stats much better than I did when I was 14. Like, dude, I didn't get hardcore in RPGs until we were friends. And that's,
that's like
8 years after I was 14. So I don't know why. I'm always on like my last in pack, basically. I carry only the essentials in my pockets, so that means I'm not really selling or buying much of anything.
I know I need to live in the wasteland.
and I was gonna say the wasteland thing really is, because I guess it's that I've been spoiled. So old RPGs really did rely on their commerce systems
and
karma
and factions.
So Yeah, the karma thing is big in this one, but scavenging, not so much. So, yes, I do still search through every box and stuff, and I'm really doing it now because I'm like, man, I've always only got five bullets.
And two so, caps.
Yep. So I am really experiencing that, and I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty solid on the role-playing part, but what I'm really frustrated by is the, like... Yeah, Fallout 4 kind of spoiled me. I used to collect Wonder Glue for everything so I could build up new weapon components or like repair and maintain different guns. And in this one, I understand the repair system way better than I ever did when I was a teenager. So I'll oftentimes, anytime I have two of anything, especially if it's a weapon I prefer, then I break it apart not break it apart. But yeah, exactly. I extend the fucking value. I also never knew this back in the day, but the lower the durability of an item, the actual less useful it is. So your armor reduces in damage reduction based on durability.
Yeah. So and the same thing more for your actual weapons. Damage if your armor is in lower quality.
Yep, exactly. So that part reminded me like of when I was playing Dark Souls for the first time, because Dark Souls 1, everybody forgets this because it hasn't been in Dark Souls since Dark Souls 1, but your armor and your weapons deteriorate. Yep. Like they actually deteriorate. So you have to repair them or upgrade them, because upgrading them increases their durability, but you have to repair them all the time.
And then that costed souls too. And then like either you bought the repair kit to do it out on the field at a campfire, or you had to go to a blacksmith back then if you didn't buy that repair kit. And so that was like your only two options.
So I just, this is, it's kind of like a getting jerked back into old RPG mentality. Yeah. And it's both the breath of fresh air and then also me going, man, these systems are kind of dated. Archaic. And video games. Well, and archaic's not exactly the word, because the game actually still feels good to play, which is funny because like I every time I try to play New Vegas, I bounce off of it. And New Vegas is like two years younger than Fallout 3. It's so weird to me that
like New Vegas never sticks for you. I just think it's the sheer amount of brown. It's because
I don't like Obsidian games somehow.
I noticed. You just hate Obsidian games.
Somehow, anytime something Obsidian makes, like, and what's weird is on paper, I should love it. Like, and for all of them, every Obsidian game I ever interact with, I bounce off of fucking Oblivion. I was like, nope, I can't do it. That's Bethesda. Bethesda. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry. So Outer let me correct Worlds. Myself. So Outer Worlds was a big one where I had to fucking just hunker down and power through. I didn't enjoy it very much after a couple of hours. It became stale. And the same thing goes for Grounded, which was also an Obsidian game. It's really good for 2 hours and then
and it falls apart real quick after that point. Yeah. I agree on that one.
And then I'm going to go with the same thing also for Fallout New Vegas. New Vegas brought in a bunch of new ideas and still existed in the Fallout 3 engine. I think it didn't look different enough for me to be like, wow, this is a whole different game from different team.
Yeah.
And so because to my knowledge, like the storytelling in New Vegas is better and stuff. So I probably should give New Vegas a better shot after I give 3 some more love. But then the other thing is also another Obsidian game that I've bounced off of repeatedly after trying to get deep into would be the South Park Stick of Truth. And that's also a really good turn-based RPG that has great mechanics, great storytelling, like super awesome art style. It's a fantastic video game version of South Park. Like that's all I want is just Stick of Truth more. But somehow every time I get 15 hours in, I'm just like, I can't finish it. And I don't know what it is, but that's like the Obsidian thing that I go through.
I think what it is, because Obsidian tends to leave their stuff like very, I don't want to say vague is the word, but very open and less like direct. And for you, I feel like that may be the problem, where it's just like, I don't want to explore. I just want to get through what I need to get through.
Well, and that's what I was talking to my wife about earlier, because I was bitching a little bit about Fallout, and I was like, she was like, you're just not an open world guy.
You don't really like
open world games. And I was like, I mean, I like games that are open world. And she was like, yeah, but you don't want to explore. You just want to complete objectives and keep moving on. And I was like, You are absolutely right. Yeah, so like the I like the sandbox.
Yeah, it's again, Assassin's Creed, I feel, is like your perfect environment for that, where there's just enough if you want to do some side shit, but also at the same time, you can just power through shit and you're still chilling.
Well, and even still, like, me. Assassin's Creed, yes, I mean, but as I don't know. So this is something that's been happening to me with Fallout 3, is I'm used to modern video games being like, there's a reward in every dungeon or everywhere, every door you open will have an interesting thing. So I've been looking for this group called the Family in Fallout 3, and it's a quest that I feel is probably like a mid-game quest, but I picked it up at Megaton, so I was like, fuck it, let's do it straight up. So I go to this town called Arafu, and it's on top of like a highway overpass, and I go and talk to them and find a family with dead people, exactly. And I was like, oh man, there's like bite marks on the dead people's necks, and they're like, go find the family, and they might have answers. So I go to, there's three spots located. There's a outdoor movie theater. What are they called? Drive-in. There's a drive-in there. And you're supposed to look in any of these three locations, and the family may be at these locations. So there's a drive-in. There's a like hidey hole that is covered by like a chain link fence. And when you go down into it, you can find out that there's essentially this, like, there was an underground bunker or something going on because there's a bunch of bunk beds and children's toys and stuff like that. It's not a vault or anything like that.
It's just a shelter. Can tell
that some people tried to live here in this shelter, essentially. And there's fucking rad scorpions, and the rad scorpions are alive, but there's a bunch of just dead raiders all around. And so you collect a bunch of stuff, but while you're down there, all that there is just fight some rad scorpions and pick what's in the raiders' pockets.
And rad that scorpions stuff is that early are fucking beefy too, dude.
Yeah, and I've been fucking fighting them with a sledgehammer that does 8 damage. Yeah. So it's not great, considering, like, yeah, sledgehammer does 8 damage, 10 millimeter pistol does fucking 5. Yeah, so like I'm not hitting that hard. That
area.
No. I shouldn't be, but I've thrown myself into difficulty.
But see, that's the thing, is like, I remember, so that's coming off like hot off the hills of when Oblivion was like my peak interest. I was like, fucking, I love Oblivion. It's everything that's important to me, and all of it is important and it matters. So then, like, fucking, I saw the like video where Todd is just like, yeah, we're making Fallout. It's this post-apocalyptic where the world gets blown up. I was like, oh, it sounds cool. And they're like, and this one, the enemies don't scale to you. Instead, you can go to an area that's completely out of your level and you'll just get destroyed.
That's what I remember being like the selling point for Skyrim. Skyrim did that also. I remember because I had a friend at the time that Skyrim came out, and he was like, it's so sick. There's dragons just in the open world. And I was like, okay, I don't see why that's sick, but all right. And he was like, but they're totally unscripted. And then when I fought the dragon for the first time, it did the same three things over and over, and I was like,
dragons are definitely,
this is not exactly unscripted. It's like, it's got four things and those are dice rolls between those things. But unscripted, sure. Like, if you told me I have to play with this hand of four cards, but I can play them however I want, I guess it's unscripted. So that's what the dragons feel like. But that was the first time in my life someone was like, yeah, and it doesn't have enemy scaling. So if you go to an area that's too strong for you, it just murders you. And this is after I'd played all of Fallout 3, like all of its expansions and everything. And I don't recall having a feeling that I do remember going to the east side of the map, the closer to downtown Washington DC you get, I do remember that getting more intense, but that was more because they were throwing super mutants at you, not like enemy stats seemed harder.
Well, maybe I'm
misremembering.
It's because super mutants take more damage and then also output more damage, because the weapons those fuckers tend to carry around with stuff that you're not even supposed to have, like early game. So if you're going in there like level probably 1 through 10, you're just like, yeah, oh, this is, I'm not supposed to be dealing with this.
I have not actually checked my level. I will say I have been kind of Dark Souls-ing it, where I'm like, let me put a bunch of points into these things because I want to make this build, and I've been like focusing on just kind of doing things my way.
Interesting.
And the game's not really been receptive of that. Like, no. I can like, I know that on Fallout games, I want my charisma to be pretty high. So I've been kind of like wheeling and dealing with charisma shit going on. I haven't really lied to anybody, but I kind of convince people to do stuff that I want them to do. So that's been successful and pretty cool.
Fallout is, it's all about,
but also
intelligence, endurance builds. That's literally it.
Sure. I mean, I can see why intelligence would be useful for like, or maybe, I don't know. There's
no, because intelligence literally applies how many extra perk points you get per level. So that's nice that you tell stats. Me
this, but yeah. It's not something I ever observed. I did get a perk that anytime I read a book, it gives me 2 perk points in that thing instead of 1.
Yeah.
So I did get that perk. And so like, I'm having a good time playing this. I just am feeling that it's maybe not for me anymore, and I've just kind of moved towards like games that are survival genre inspired. And then when it comes to RPGs, I want something to be, yeah, kind of like D&D, where it just lets me do whatever I want with my stats, even if the build doesn't make a lot of sense. Because that's what I do with the Souls games. That's what I really like about them, is even if I do something that doesn't make perfect sense. I was telling you earlier today that I built a character that basically, if he gets hit, he dies. Yeah. But if he doesn't get hit, he does a lot of damage. So, and usually the way people build those kinds of characters is like, that's a spellcaster or whatever. That's the phrase for that is glass cannon. But I'm literally a glass cannon melee build. So what's going on there? You know,
like, it's hot feet, man. Make a lot of sense. Dodging all day, every day.
I was dodging all day, every day. But apparently some stuff would still be like splash damage. Yep. Don't care about your invincibility, friends.
Fuck your life bar. Yep. That's what so I like New Vegas about, though, is because that one was so very like welcoming to however you wanted to play. Where 3 was just very like, you gotta do heavy armor, big guns. That's what it felt like by the end of the game.
And that's not how, like, I remember beating Fallout 3 with my primary gun throughout the entire game, same way I played Dead Space. I only carried a 10 millimeter pistol everywhere.
That's impressive.
I mean, I might have picked up like a 44 or whatever, but I always put all of my points just into small guns. Like, that's what I always do.
Yeah, so, no, because by the end of 3, I was running rocket launchers, miniguns, and then an AR the entire time.
I've basically never carried any like heavy guns in a Fallout game. Like even still, like when I went into this one, I was like, can I build a sniper who picks locks and is charismatic? Let's do that. I want to build a sniper who picks locks and is charismatic. I haven't found any sniper rifles. I haven't found any rifles other than an assault rifle so far. I know that the first early games like rifle you get is a hunting rifle. Yeah, I know that.
That's technically the sniper rifle for a bit.
Yeah, from the beginning. Yeah, that's the sniper rifle. But my problem is that I know perception or whatever impacts like sniper ability basically. Yeah, if you that's play
like
that
scope
way.
Scope sway and shit like that.
But I never have any ammo, so it doesn't really matter.
Dude,
I basically
the ammo
just
for
been,
the sniper in there is like almost impossible to find.
Yeah, I've been literally like collecting all the small arms I can, carrying as many bullets as I can, running out of bullets very quickly, and then just fucking baseball batting everything. That's how I've been playing this game. Like, I've done more melee in this game than I've ever played in any Fallout game, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why am I always out of bullets? And it's not like I'm not missing, Victor. I'm not fucking missing stuff.
Everything feels like a fucking bullet sponge in that game, dude. That's the thing.
Everything. Yeah. Or like a baseball bat sponge. Uh-huh. Like, why does it take 30 hits to kill a fucking... Like, I know it's a big scorpion, but it ain't that big.
Dude, because even like a feral ghoul will just eat your bullets. And you're just like, what the fuck, dude?
I mean, I will say, like, with armor, I can stand in front of somebody who just literally just unloads a fucking assault rifle into my chest. Like, I can do that with armor. But still, I'm, like, chipping away at his health with fucking baseball bat. Like, this is dumb. This is stupid.
The worst part is, though, is, like, when you get to the, like, certain DLCs, it's specifically, was it Point Lookout, I think? Or is that... It's the Swamp 1 and 3. There's a fucking specific ghoul in there called the Feral Ghoul Reaver. And that thing became, like, my dreaded enemy. This thing is skilled always 3 levels above you, no matter what you're doing. and its damage output is fucking bonkers insane. And it's got this gross, like, radioactive goo that it just pulls out of its chest and chucks at you. And dude, it'll tear through your health in a fucking heartbeat, no matter if you're even max level. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on here?
I'm right now, I'm kind of, you know, down for the long haul, but I'm also just like, this is an old game. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't.
It's age, especially because, like,
I want to play fucking Subnautica Below Zero or something. Like, I don't know. I've been mostly focusing. So on my weekdays, especially my work in the office days, I've been focusing on writing this project that I've been working on. And then on my work from home days or like weekends, I've been picking up like a game that's just kind of Steam Deckable. Yeah. And Fallout kind of ended up being the game because of the constant save all the time, that just kind of worked well for me.
Yeah, it really does.
Elden Ring really was just like this stop and pay attention for no less than 2 hours kind of game.
You had to commit.
Yeah. Well, and then if I didn't commit, like I had to, like, say I was playing the game and I wanted to start for about, I tend to get to work 20 minutes before I need to clock in because I work downtown. So I just want to avoid traffic, and I would bring my Steam Deck and I'd be like I remember I was on a fucking path in Caelid in Elden Ring trying to just go get a couple of fucking items in Caelid basically, and because of like this division in attention and only 20 minute playtime, I just kept falling off cliffs. Yep. And I was like, this is not the right game for this. Well, and then also like so the Steam Deck is a real masterpiece of technology because you can sleep a living gaming PC with it, which you can't do on like normal desktop. You can with an Xbox and with a PlayStation. Yeah. But that's like an actual selling point of them. Whereas desktop gaming, you save the game and you quit the game. Yeah. That's normal. But the Steam Deck has allowed me to be a little more console-y with it. But you can Souls just, like, games don't.
No,
so, it don't work Souls well games that don't way. Like that. They don't like that one bit. An example is when a Souls game loses connection to the internet, it kicks you back to main screen because this is their method of anti-cheat, because obviously somehow you could spawn around something. There's even a boss called the Chaos Bed in fucking Dark Souls 1 that the typical way of beating it is to just go into the environment and then quit the game and then go back into the game, and that's it. But you have to make sure you're offline when you do it, because if you're online, you'll trigger the fucking anti-cheat and it'll spawn you back before the combat, before the fight. But Elden Ring doesn't work that way. So there were a couple of instances. An example was I needed to fight something called the Misbegotten fucking warrior and the Crucible Knight. And this is a fight in Caelid. I would go through the fog and then I'd be like, shit, I got to go take care of the baby or I got to go do something. So I put my Steam Deck to sleep and then I'd wake my Steam Deck back up and I would have some dude barreling on my ass. Yep. And then he would just fucking
raw dogging you,
just hunk a fucking chunk of life out of me. I wouldn't be dead. Fucking just hunk a chunk of life out of me. I'd fucking pop a red tier fucking glass to heal up really quick. And then the game would literally be like, all right, we're closing out to the main screen because you lost internet connection.
We don't know what shady shit continue. You're doing right now.
And then I press continue and then I'm outside of the boss fog with one less health thing and one and fucking damage to me. And I was like, my souls are still in there. So I gotta go in there and go get those fucking souls. But you literally fucking kneecapped me here because I forgot my Steam Deck was awake. Oh, like, man. That's some shit that I've been dealing with, with Elden Ring, and that's nice to not need to deal with fucking Fallout, because I just save every time I open the door.
Every fucking 2 minutes, dude. You just
if
look
I finish
at the
talking to a guy,
long.
I save the game. Yep,
and then it's if like I walk out of a saving.
Yeah, if I walk in, walk out, open a box, it saves.
Yeah. You fucking look at the sky, saves.
I think it's interesting because I heard about it back in the day and I've never seen it until recently, but the game's actual file size is growing on my Steam Deck. It started it started out as a 7 gig game, but now it's 9 gigs, and that's because of like the things that I've killed and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I forgot that was a problem on PlayStation 3 specifically.
I remember when I was playing 4, because 4 does this this dumb thing where it's always ever making new autosaves. And I don't think they ever fixed it. So, like, instead of them overwriting the old ones, it would always be making new ones for you. So you'd have multiple autosaves that were just crazy instances of, like, your entire playthrough. And then, like, at some point, you're at, like, fucking 500 deep down the line. And then your game just starts acting real fucking weird because you got that many save files.
No, that's so what you're describing, that's still Fallout 3. That's not Fallout 4. Because apparently that was a Fallout 3 on, specifically PS3, it would crash your game issue. And then you'd have to delete the saves from the PS3's home screen to delete those files. That's crazy. Yeah. Cause yeah, I can just keep building them up. Luckily, I've got a fucking 512 gig NVMe SSD inside of my Steam Deck, so like those it's saves chilling. Are super fucking fast. but I'll tell you one other thing that makes me kind of want to quit playing Fallout is that a big selling point of the Steam Deck again for me is that it's versatile because Steam has a feature called cloud saves. Yeah. And so when you save a game, it syncs to the cloud, the free Steam cloud. And if you have a gaming PC, you can re-download the cloud save, or it's automatic if you have it set that way. And I do. So that way I can literally, as long as I quit the game on my Steam Deck and make sure the Steam Deck is just awake for a few seconds while it's connected to the internet, it'll sync to the cloud that file. Like that's literally first thing it does when it quits the game is cloud sync that last save, which is fucking sick. And then on my gaming PC, even if I didn't touch it, as long as it's connected to the internet, it detects that there's been a change in the cloud save and it downloads the newest save file. So that is an awesome process. Now, what if I told you that Fallout 3 doesn't support cloud saves in any way whatsoever? So I started it. I've played 10 hours of the game on my Steam Deck, and I will finish the game now on my fucking Steam Deck. Because I got to figure out where the fuck these collection of save files exist inside of a a Linux file system, so that way I can transfer them to a Windows PC over a flash drive with a USB-C dongle.
That's too much work. I'd rather just finish it on the Steam Deck.
That's actually the reason that I had to finish Dead Space 3 on the Steam Deck last year. Was exactly the same fucking thing. Because, Dead Space 3 didn't support cloud saves, but it didn't tell you that it didn't. So I now know that if I want to start a Fallout game, I better fucking double check. Because, dude, there were Reddit bitches who were like, I don't know why everybody keeps posting this like it's a new topic. Fallout 3 don't support cloud saves and it never gonna do. And I'm like,
come on.
I'm like, no. And he's like, why are people even looking this up? Fucking, the game's been out for like 15 years. This ain't news. And then somebody else was like, because the Steam Deck just came out, stupid. And
he was like, oh, that shit don't work.
I don't know. That'd be like if you bought a Nintendo Switch Lite, didn't know that it don't work on the dock.
Yeah. You bought a dock separate. You're just like, oh man, I just spent $80 on this dock. I'm ready to play. And then you're just like, why don't it work?
I don't understand. It does not work.
It charged,
but it doesn't show on the television.
Why not on big screen? Why only on little screen?
So yeah, that's what I've been up to. I didn't expect to go on a rant about Fallout so much as I expected to talk about fucking Elden Ring being kind of disappointing. I don't know. You want to talk about Elden Ring, or you got a topic?
I'm fine with Elden Ring. We've been doing it. I've been playing Dragon's Dogma. That shit's still been up my ass. So it's scratching that weird deep cut RPG itch I've been looking for.
Those games, the more I watch them, the more Japanese as fuck they look. And that makes me kind of go, because like, it's like if Japanese people, how do I explain this? If Western people decided to make Japanese games, you would get, I'm trying to think of what you would get. But
you
this
would
is
get
what
games
happens.
Like Evil Within and still, even though it's still Japanese made, I feel like that's what
no, it's still Japanese.
Like.
It's not there. It's almost there, but it's not there. No. So I don't exactly know how to define Japanese. I've got one example. There was what was it called? Was it called Cursed Haunted, or was it called Hunted the Curse of something, or the Curse?
You play as like the two characters, like the
you
dude
play,
and the chick,
yeah,
right?
You play a guy in black armor and a lady in black armor, and the guy has like an axe and the lady has like a fucking bow. That is the closest to like a Japanese action game that
made by a Western studio.
That I can think of. Yeah, that's like the best I can think of. I'm sure there's others, but that's the one that really comes to mind. But fucking Dragon Dogma feels like somebody in Japan was like, I've played Skyrim. Let us make Skyrim.
And that's why I love it, dude.
And then he was like, all of my experience is actually in making Yakuza games. So
that's exactly what if Yakuza and
Skyrim made a baby? Dude. And so that makes me go, Yakuza's very Japanese, but Dragon Dogma seems extremely Japanese in a different way, and I'm not sure.
Just weird, dumbass mechanics in that game that I'm like, this is fucking great. I love this game. It's so good.
So like, I found out that you could just climb bad guys. Yeah. You could just climb them. And I was like, what are you talking about? You could just climb them.
I thought this was just an RPG,
but then I found out you could just climb bitches.
I've attempted to play
Victor,
this game.
You didn't tell me you could just climb bitches. I've told you this.
That's what I said. I was like, bro, you can climb them and hit weak spots. It's crazy.
I was like, why is it just a mini Shadow of Colossus minigame for 2 seconds?
No, it's fucking great. Cause I got like fucking, I was walking through this mountainous area and it was like fucking nighttime. So I just got my little lantern on and I'm walking around with my fucking group. And then I just see these eyes in the dark. And then one of my group's like, it's a chimera. And this motherfucker just comes jumping out of the fucking darkness and barrel rolls through me.
Yeah,
and my guy goes like flying across the fucking dirt.
That's that shit. Like everybody keeps talking. Like I've been watching like Dragon's Dogma 2 coverage too. And people talk about that shit. They'll be like, yeah, there's goblins in the trees that just jumped out. And then all of a sudden a fucking hippogriff jumps out of the air and fucking bites him on the dick off. And I'm like, dude, why are you playing this game?
It's so good.
It seems random as shit.
It's so good. So then like I jumped onto the fucking chimera and hit its stupid snake tail because I was like poisoning my team. And then the snake tail dies and falls off. And then it's got a goat head above its back that's casting magic.
I didn't even know there was dismemberment in these games.
You know, it's even crazier. You can
in
run
Dragon's
up to
Dogma
it.
2, that's thing I remember. Actually, you can cut a troll's fucking arm off while you're fighting him.
It's great. It's like depending on if an enemy is like small enough, you can run up to it and give it like a good old Chris Masters master lock and hold it in place while your team just beats the shit out of it.
Dude,
like it's
a gang war. I don't get it. It literally feels so it's like if a Yakuza developer was explained what Skyrim was and then was like, I can do that too. Like fucking what? I don't get it. That's like the same year that fucking Breath of the Wild came out, Horizon Zero Dawn came out. And those are the exact they're the same genre of game. They're both open world fucking bow hunting ass RPG fucking games. But they couldn't be more vastly different than each other because one is Japanese as shit and the other one is Western as fuck. Yep. But for some reason, those two people that don't normally talk to each other called each other up and were like, let's do this. why is it that the only thing that happens when those kinds of things happen, you get fucking Kingdom Hearts for some reason? Because you get Japanese ass high end fucking action RPG developers and then you get Disney shit for some reason. Like fucking who was like, Mickey Mouse needs a sword? Like fucking what?
Put that kid in some big clown shoes, call it day.
Dude, so there's that part, but then also like again Dragon's Dogma was like somebody was like, oh, Skyrim's great, but like can we make it third person and add way more Japanese shit into it? Let's have you do a mini game where you cook stuff. And I'm like, why is this?
Dude, it's got like, so you can go to an inn to just sleep, right? And this guy's also capable of storing your shit. He's capable of combining your shit to make other shit that's more helpful for you. He's capable of leveling you up and then helping you equip skills that you've now leveled up to. And then he also syncs up to the online server where if your pawn gets rented out by someone else, they come back with new info and shit for you.
This game just seems so fucking made up to me. Like somebody was like, I did. But like also when you watch someone play it, I swear you see the main character fall down so much, and I don't get it. I'm like, why? You're not a badass. You're just this dude who falls down a lot. I do not understand what the fuck is going on with these.
So to put the beginning of the first one, you're literally just some random dude that's living in like a fishing village. This dragon comes and fucking starts just molesting the town. And then you roll out there thinking you're a badass, and you're like, oh, I'm going to fight you, dragon, with your little rinky-dink sword. And the dragon's just like, you know what? You're brave. I'll respect it. Tears your fucking heart out and eats it. And then it's just like, you're an arisen now. And then you wake up with stitches on your chest where your heart used to be. And now you're magical because you're connected to the dragon.
Yep. Yep. Dude, I just...
It's great.
I simply do not understand. That's all I got.
I've played this game about four times now trying to finish it. And I'm still finding out new shit.
No matter what you tell me, I don't think I'm attracted to the game at all. Because it's just, you fall. It's like if Scream was an action RPG, because you fall down and you do weird shit all the time. Like, none of it looks elegant. Like, I swear the people who made this game were like, yeah, it's going to look like fucking Devil May Cry when you play it. But instead, it's just kind of janky and weird. Yeah. I don't know.
I love it.
And like, even the new one, like, when it's played well, it looks kind of interesting, but when it's played poorly, you just fucking ragdoll everywhere and just get snapped in half by like little goblin dudes. And I don't get it. So I kept telling myself, no, it's fine, Andy. Wait till it goes on sale. I'm just not going to buy this game.
When I finish one and start playing two, I'm going to come back to you. I'm like, Andy, two's great. It's everything but two.
Two looks fucking sick. I want to try it, but you're going to have to think of some very powerful, convincing words for me.
I'll come back to you in the homework report once I start two, and we'll see if I can sway you.
Yeah, I'll take it. But speaking of Japanese RPGs, yeah, I beat fucking Elden Ring, and
you're now the Elden Lord.
Yeah, I'm now the Elden Lord. So I spent at least probably closer to 30, but I spent between 20 and 30 hours attempting to obtain some items necessary for a specific ending in the game.
Yeah, because I want to preface this, like, you got through the bulk of the game fairly fast from like how you were pacing it to me, and then you ended up in Lindel. And then all of a sudden you just kind of fell off and gave me no real updates. Yeah, no.
I got to Lindell and beat Margit within 30 hours. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I talked to you about it again afterwards, and you're like, yo, I'm gonna do the dung eater.
You were like, you're at the 2/3 point, you were like, hey, Andy, you're at the two-thirds point, so like now is when you should decide to do the side stuff, mm-hmm. if you have any side stuff. And at that point, but like when I beat Margit, the fucking Omen King or whatever, I actually was pursuing a different ending, and it was an ending with Fia, the deathbed courtesan or whatever.
The deathbed whore.
yeah, she just has sex with dead dudes who are like powerful, and so I thought that seemed kind of cool as an ending, and I never looked up any of these endings. I just looked up the name of the ending and who it was associated with, and so because of that I was like, all right, cool, that sounds like a cause worth fighting for. And as I explained on the last episode of the podcast, I went out of my way to go and help out this lady who essentially plans on having sex with the corpse of a demigod so she can birth him again into the world, and also like it'll be an undead version of him. That's the goal of it, essentially. Whereas apparently if you do all of these things, she doesn't birth the undead guy, because at the point that I got into, she actually got murdered in her sleep by a dude I became friends with, and so instead I got the other thing that she was pregnant with, apparently, which was a piece of the Elden Ring, which is just a sigil I could add to it. And so that allowed me to get a specific ending if I wanted to. Then I told myself, you know what? sounds cool, but I feel like it's gonna not turn out the way that I want it to. I didn't look up the ending or anything. So then I was like, hey Victor, what if I did the grossest thing possible and made friends with the dude who wants to shit and fuck everything and then eat shit everywhere?
And then fuck
and
the
you
shit.
Were like, Andy, I don't know anybody who's done that. Don't do that. That's crazy, bro. And then I was like, Victor, I've committed. You said it was crazy, I'm gonna do it.
What's worse, dude, is like after you touch base with me about wanting to do that ending, I was like, yo, you're gonna have
radio
to,
silent.
Yeah, you go radio silent, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I think the dung eater took his asshole. But then I was like, yo, if you're trying to do this ending, you're gonna have to go through the fucking sewers, and I hated the sewers. It was like the worst place for me.
And by the time that you I already beat the sewers. I was already done with the sewers by the time you told me that. Yes, I'd already completed the sewers. Like, I went to the sewers with a fucking mission. I looked for it. I found it. I looked for that guy. I got from that guy what I needed.
So I went down there because there was another thing involving him to get another quest for something else. I can't remember. So I was like, let me do this. And I spent, I kid you fucking not, like 6 hours down there just fucking grinding through that horrible fucking place. And I was like, I hate this. I never want to come back down here again.
Because everything down there has a great sword, but it's also fast and then poisonous
and beefy.
Yep. Yeah. No. I did all of that stuff, Victor. It was like horrible. I made that sewer my bitch. Absolutely. So I let it never be said that I am not a well traveled and experienced Souls player. No, like I've definitely seen come and conquered. Yeah, but so something that I thought was really weird was, you know, he's like, hey, go collect these fucking things. And it wasn't until later. Like, and what's weird is I would find them on dead bodies sitting in chairs. And I found a couple of them at this point. So I was like, oh, it's not so bad. There's how many exist in this game? Total of 6. I was like, that doesn't sound that bad. I feel like that's attainable, especially since I got 2. Turns out the remaining of them
are in the worst
were
places.
In places. No, it's not just that they were in the worst places. They were in places I had yet to explore or find. There's a whole portion of the map called the Helg tree. And I never knew it existed until this quest. And then I had to go and do the tedious bullshit required to get to the Helg tree, because you require 2 keys to get to the Helg tree. And those 2 keys are on basically opposite sides of the map being possessed by the most random people in fortresses that you'll never just find.
And some of the worst fights.
So I actually had half of one on my own. And again, somehow I had explored thoroughly enough to be like, all right, I got some stuff. So I had half of it on my own. I was able to meet a lady who had a wolf, and she was like, take me as a ghost up to the fucking frozen wilds. And from there we can find the Helig tree. I do. I take her up to the fucking frozen wilds and everything. I go and fucking fight a metric buttload of fucking ghosts inside of this ghost castle so I could get a fucking key. And I want to point out, there's this thing, there's this guy called Captain So-and-so. I had to fight him.
Hated him so much.
I had to fight this captain dude to get it took me, and all of these things take hours. It took like 3 hours to be able to get this, like the strength required to kill fucking Captain So-and-so. And
Captain,
then I finally did
with this dumb lightning stuff.
His problem is that he gets beefed based on the ghosts that you kill. So if you kill the ghosts mid-fight, you make it only one-on-one, but if you do it one-on-one, then he's too fast and he will murder you. So I finally got through that shit. I got the keys, and then I was like, fuck it, let's go. And then I went further north and found there's this ghost
the elevator
city that you go into.
Oh my god, with
a bunch of fucking secret ninjas.
Fire puzzles. Yep.
And so I had to figure out where these fucking fires I had to light were
while
so I could
getting
go
attacked by ninjas.
Yep. Exactly. So I got through all of that shit, finally got the last thing I needed to get to the Helig tree. And then I go up to the Helig tree, and then I found out that everything up there is really strong and shoots magic at you. So I fought all of that shit so I could get, there are 2 items on the Helig tree that I needed, 2 seed bed curses. And these are literally sitting in the assholes of dead guys sitting in chairs. And so the Halig tree, let's break it into two halves. There's the first half where a bunch of fucking not human beast ass men are trying to kick your ass and shoot you with magic. And then on the other half is a bunch of on the other half is a bunch of knights that belong to one of the most aggressive bosses that exist in the game ever. And then you also have to fight a lady whose ghost whipped your ass for 3 hours straight. And then you got to fight the real version of her who has a stage two that's worse. So that was the first time I ever summoned somebody to be like, fucking help me. I can't get past this. Help
it's
me.
Terrible,
so,
man.
So I summoned somebody, got through this fucking fight. And then next thing I know, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm in the other region of the game that I needed to be in, like the other portion of this map. And so finally I found one of the corpses and was like, all right, cool. I got to you know, the B side. So I was like, I'm just going to sprint straight to where I know the corpses are. So I did. Ooh. I didn't do shit else. I didn't do shit else in the hill tree. I just ran.
That's grabbed
the fucking seedbed curses from both of the dead guys.
Is so hostile.
It's a gauntlet, Victor. Yes, it's a fucking gauntlet. And everybody does holy magic and is angry. Yep. But,
and Scarlet Rot.
I got the two seedbed curses from there, and then apparently the other place with the seedbed curse was the fucking Volcano Manor. So I had to go to Volcano Manor to go find a fucking seedbed curse. After I did find it originally, then I was like, well, now I want to kill a god. So okay. I guess I'll kill Rykard.
Rykard.
And I was like, all right, let's do this. And then I fucking found out that there's a weapon in the actual environment that is required to kill this bitch. So I had to do that. It's just so much. And then so I did all of this shit. I've gone through every fucking trial and tribulation possible to collect these sharp ass fucking butt seeds to put inside of this dude who lives in a fucking sewer. So that way I somehow, I don't really grasp this. If I put enough butt seeds in this dead guy or this guy who dies of butt seeds, I will somehow obtain the butt seed curse and be able to spread it as the Elden Lord. Don't know how. Don't know why. It's fine. So
I think the logic was that you infect the Halig tree with it, or the Erd tree. Sorry. And then that's what causes the rebirth cycle.
You're right. Yeah. That's what happens. So I did. I collected and I pursued that ending. I beat the final bosses. You just
fisted that guy's asshole till he died.
Yep. He makes dying sounds when you do it. And then I beat the game, and you know, so there's other endings. I finally looked them up. Like there's one where you can make friends with an alternate god thing that has three fingers instead of two fingers. Yeah. For anybody who's a fan of the game, you'll know what I'm talking about. For anybody else, go fuck yourself. It's fine. So yeah, you can make friends with the three fingers and set the fucking tree on fire with your crazy eyeball fire magic.
Yeah, this fucking three fingers just lives underneath very deep into the ground by itself in a locked
he's
door.
He's in the sewer, Victor.
Oh yeah, he's in the deepest sewer. Part of the sewer. Yeah, I remember that. It's terrible.
He's at the bottom of the sewer. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you get to the bottom of the sewer, you take off all your clothes, you can go meet the three fingers.
And he fucking holds you.
Yep. So there's that one. And then there's the one that I now really wish I'd pursued, which is the one where you marry Ronnie and usher in the age of stars instead of fucking the age of, was it the Golden Order or whatever. So the ending I got was where my character attaches this curse to the Elden Ring and then becomes in possession of the Elden Ring, which makes me Elden Lord, which it's fine. It means I get to sit on a chair.
And butt seeds.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the butt seeds. The dead guy has the butt seeds. But apparently he wouldn't give me the piece of the Elden Ring that is cursed unless I put butt seeds in him. Something like that.
The trade.
Yeah.
I need you to put butt seeds for this piece of ring.
Exactly. But so when I added my portion to the sigil, the fucking all of the world gets covered in like a green miasma. And then you see like in the darkness, there's just like kind of green colored fucking lava lamp shit happening in the air. And then it's like, I don't know. Before this, when you set the Erd tree on fire, you see like all of the weird NPCs of fucking the lands between look up at the tree and be like, oh my God, the tree's on fire. And then, yeah, they're just, whoa. But you know, when you go through all of the trials and tribulations I went to obtain the butt seat curse, no one looks at the tree and goes, no. Oh,
or they like, just start scratching their ass. That's why
they don't even have like a cutscene about it, really. It's just you sitting in the chair and there's a bunch of green, and then it's like, yeah, the Elden Lord ushered in the age of pestilence. And I'm like,
cool.
Yeah, I bet, because the sky is green. And that was it. Like, I don't know, in fucking Dark Souls 1, like, there's a whole cutscene that tells you what happens after what you did and shit, but this game, no. And so I was like, okay, so there's... I don't care for people to be like, there's canon endings. I don't feel that way, but... I do think that there are four completely utterly useless endings in this game. No, not even bonkers, just completely irrelevant. They're not that good. They just change the color of the sky. And those four endings are fucking mine. There's the Fia deathbed curse one, where you never see the fucking corpse of Godric get back up or anything like that. You just
there. Yeah.
The sky turns black and the tree's all fucked up. There's the one where you do become the eyeball, and that one's cool. The fiery eyeball, and that one's cool. There's another one where you put on a gold mask and that's it. You just sit down with a fucking gold mask on, and that's it. So
I forgot about that. Dude, also, getting that quest ending is fucking stupid, ridiculous.
The Golden Sun ending?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is dumb.
It's more than the fucking Dung Eater ending, and it's a waste of time because I got to start talking to statues with time magic. Yep. Yeah, I know. I looked it up. I don't fucking care. I want to thank you guys for joining us. And Sometimes I Hate You. This has been a comedy variety podcast where we talk about video games mostly. But I mean, you guys know what you signed up for. You come here fucking. That's it.
You come here with your pants down. Expect words, and you get words.
Do they really show up with their pants down?
Some of them
for the show.
Do. I don't know. I mean,
ever since we've started recording, I've just been completely ass naked from the waist down.
You know, that's strange, man. Like, since we started recording again, or like from way back, because you used to be in the same room as me.
Way back, yeah. No, way back. You didn't even know. I'd be like, Victor, I gotta go shit my brains out. I ate cereal in your kitchen. Hold on, I'll be right back. And then I just come Donald ducking it. Fucking. The joke is, like, you never knew. I just had a fucking leather jacket in front of my dick the whole time.
Man, that's something I didn't want to know.
Well, you know, one reality that we exist in is that both you and I are Donald ducking it the whole time that we do the podcast this way, because I can never see you waist down. You never even stand up. Like, I haven't seen you stand in like a year or two.
That's so strange.
You see me wander around or I make weird fat belly dances, but like, you just, I haven't seen you stand in so long.
Once I'm here, that's it.
All right. Well, once again, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Sometimes I Hate You. This
is praise be Elden Lord, who brings an age of stars to fall upon the old tree. The curse of curses.
I just pulled a mustache hair out with my
beware
teeth.
Beware the Elden Lord, for everything is not as it seems. Now that the star curse is now cursed upon the stars, and the butt seeds
there's not a star
are now
curse.
Present in
He's
the
making
stars.
Up shit. Don't listen to him. He's just saying words now. Elden Pretty Lord. Soon it's just going to be the word beware and Elden Lord, and that's it. Just repeated. Bye.